Welcome to Library Lines, the voice of your Sussex County Library. I'm your host, Regina Bone, along with my co-host,
Jerry Galante.
And Jerry, it's great to be back.
It is. It is October, finally.
I cannot believe it.
I don't know why I said finally, because it feels like it really snuck up on me, right?
Well, yeah, it did. I think it snuck up on all of us. It seemed like just yesterday was June.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we woke up and it's now October and it's chilly out.
Yeah, but we are sort of in that weird twilight zone, foreshadowing right there, but we are in this weird twilight zone time where it's really cold in the morning, and then by 3 p.m. it's 70 degrees, yeah. So you sort of have to dress accordingly,
yeah.
Which is not exactly easy. Anyway.
May not be easy, but I love it.
Oh, I love it too.
Great sleeping weather.
Oh, absolutely.
So just bring your layers and you'll be fine.
Absolutely. I always say, you know, the fall and the winter are my favorites because you always put clothes on. There's a certain point at which you can no longer remove clothing.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
There's more ways to escape the cold than there are to escape the heat.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it's cheaper.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, in terms of library updates, we just wanted to let you all know that from this point going forward, all of your Sussex County Library branches will be open every Saturday. We are still using pick time to schedule appointments, so the appointments still range from the top of the hour from 10 to 3 p.m. Make sure that you book an appointment if you want to come in. So we look forward to seeing you guys on Saturdays.
And just a reminder, if you have any issues booking appointment online, please do not hesitate to call your branch library and they will help you over the phone. Well, it is October.
It is.
And what do we think of when we enter October?
Halloween spooktacular.
Okay, Halloween spooktacular. That is our topic for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought a lot about this, Jerry. Did you?
I know not as much as you did. I have been thinking about it. I have not scribed as much as you have,
Well, there's so many angles we could take with this topic, and I felt like we had, I had to anyway, narrow it down a bit.
Sure.
Okay, so when you say spooktacular, we're talking about things that spook us out?
Yeah, I think horror stories or that general sit in front of a fireplace or fire pit type mood. You know, light jacket type of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Outside, there's apple picking, there's pumpkin picking.
Yeah.
This is by far my favorite season, so it's always sort of given me nice memories. My family used to have a house in upstate New York, so we would go up there a lot of times in the fall for picking. So, you know, we'd sit outside and make a fire, and, you know, it's just nice. Nice to be able to do that, considering I lived in a very urban area. So
yeah, good memories.
Yeah.
Good. Now, are you a big reader of horror stories, horror novels?
I'm not, but if there's a good one, I will enjoy it, if that makes sense. I don't just read it just to read it. There have been a couple recently that I read through that I enjoyed. So I could just mention one quick.
Sure.
If that's okay. It was a book that just came out this year. It's called The Boatman's Daughter by Andy Davidson. And I really enjoyed it. Definitely a straight horror, I would say. Not really science fiction-y. It had some supernatural elements to it, clearly. But I did enjoy it quite a bit. It's about a girl, I guess she's like a older teenager, who her father dies when she's younger. And then she sort of, in order to support herself, becomes like a drug runner on, I guess, the river or like a bayou or something. But anyway, I don't want to like give anything away, but there's like witches involved and stuff like that. It's good. It's a good story.
Mm, witches.
Witches.
Yeah, that's always good.
All of them witches.
Well, when I was thinking about this, I'm not a big reader of horror novels. I could think of a few that we'll probably bring up later. But I started going through the horror movies that I really enjoyed over the years and which one of those started out as novels,
mm-hmm.
and very popular novels,
right,
for their time. So I thought I'd highlight some of those.
Sure.
All right.
I have a couple of those as well.
Oh, great. So the first one I thought of, and I thought of the movie first, which is The Innocents. Have you seen this movie? I'm jumping the gun here.
Okay, I have not. I have not seen The Innocents.
The movie's called The Innocents. It's 1961, but it's based on a Henry James novel called Turn of the Screw.
Right.
Now
that I've heard of.
Yes, that you've heard of. That came out in 1898, so very popular story. It's been made into several movies, and I think even series, TV series perhaps. Okay. I never read the original story, but big fan of the movie, and I thought maybe one of these days I will go back and read it. And Henry James, on if you know other works that he did, was very popular. He wrote a lot of books about New York society and classes in that era. Washington Square is one of them.
Right.
Portrait of a Lady. Mm-hmm. And here he comes out with this ghost story, which I think is great. And if you haven't seen the movie, I highly, highly recommend it. In fact, Martin Scorsese put it in his top 10 list of nerve janglers.
Ooh, that's a weird term.
He said it was beautifully crafted and acted, immaculately shot, and very scary. Hmm. That's a direct quote from him. So check it out. I know we own it here at LC, and so it's available. And if you feel like it, check out Turn of the Screw also.
Okay.
The original.
Hmm. I'll name a movie that was inspired by a book as well. Jaws.
Ooh.
I don't know why I hadn't thought of this earlier, but I thought of it this morning, and I said, but that's a horror movie. It's like a monster movie.
Sure.
But it is a horror movie.
It scared a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter Benchley has some other things, too, and I know the novel has a different beat than the movie does. I know there's like a whole romance subplot in the book, but the movie, I feel like, is a straight horror type movie. And it's one of those that sticks with you for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I know that the whole generation wouldn't go back into the water type deal. So that one definitely is a watershed film, I feel like, in terms of horror.
I have a book called The Bad Seed by William March.
Right.
1954, a hugely popular book. It was a best-selling novel. And it later inspired the Mervyn LeRoy classic horror film of the same name. That came out in 1956, just 2 years later.
That's pretty crazy, actually, that it was that quick.
Well, I think because the book was that popular.
Right.
I have never read the book, but I have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said, have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie, and I believe I read the book.
Okay.
It's been a long time, yeah. But I'm almost positive I read the book.
It's a fantastic movie. But getting back to the book, one reviewer said, William March knows where human fears and secrets are buried. Nowhere in this gift better displayed than in the bad seed.
We spoke about this previously, before the recording.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, I feel like, does a disservice to the end of the story.
Yeah, because they change it a bit, don't they?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to reveal how.
And The Atlantic, way back when, in 1954, said, an impeccable tale of pure evil. And that's the book they're talking about.
Mm.
So I'm happy to say that the book is available on e-audio. So if you want to listen to it, the William March original, The Bad Seed, it is available on Hoopla.
Hmm. That would be a spine jangler.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so.
So I had another one here. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, based on the book by Thomas Harris. That movie scared the you-know-what out of me when I was a kid. I know a lot of people talk about, obviously, Sir Anthony Hopkins in that role. But I feel like Ted Levine as Buffalo Bill is terrifying. Just the voice that he does, you know, like that whole mm-hmm. thing scares the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has stuck with me as well. I never read the book. I always kind of wanted to, but I'm sure somebody has it.
Oh, I'm sure we have it on our shelves. And I wouldn't doubt it's on, I haven't checked Hoopla on that, but I did not read the original book. I think I read the sequel to it.
Ah, okay.
And I think they even made a movie out of that.
Was that Hannibal was a sequel?
I believe so.
Because Red Dragon is the prequel. That was made into two different movies, I believe.
Yeah. Now, that was a movie, I'll be honest with you, it didn't scare me that much.
Really?
Yeah. I need a level of supernatural in my scary movies.
I understand that.
And you'll see this in my picks here, because the more supernatural, the more scared I get.
Right. Well, LC actually owns the novel.
Okay.
And Sussex Wantage has the audiobook.
Oh, good. And it's by Harris, correct?
Thomas Harris, correct. Yep.
All right, the next one on my list. 1959. I'm going way back.
Yeah.
The Haunting of Hill House. First published, like I said, 1959 by Shirley Jackson. It's been called a perfect work of unnerving terror. Now, again, I haven't read this book. This came out in 59, the book, the movie, The Haunting, they changed the title, came out in 1963. Both very, very popular. Review of the book by Stephen King. Ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
One of only two great novels of the supernatural in the last 100 years.
Wow.
So if you want to get scared, according to Stephen King, you should be reading Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, okay.
And good news, Cloud Library has it on ebook and e-audio.
Yeah, that is good news.
Yes, for your listening pleasure.
So I have a tangential thing to that. There is a TV series that came out on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House. I really enjoyed that. I watched it last year around Halloween time. And Timothy Hutton is in it, Carlo Cugino. I don't remember his name, but the kid who played Elliot in E.T., he's in it. Really enjoyed the TV series. I believe we at DH own the TV series on DVD.
Oh, nice.
But it's definitely better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be sort of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's psychological. It's supernatural. It's entertaining. Mm-hmm. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a book that keeps living on.
Indeed.
It sure does.
So I know something that you have and something that I have. The Exorcist.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're jumping the gun here.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we're going chronologically. So then why don't you talk about it? Go ahead. Fine. You have a blurb here. I know.
I have a blurb somewhere. The Exorcist. Yes. William Peter Blatty.
Indeed.
The book came out in 1971. It was a sensation, apparently. It remains one of the most controversial novels ever written. And have you ever read it?
I never read it. Yeah. I saw the movie. The movie also scared the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, sure. I have not read it either, but it was a blockbuster. Absolutely superb, said the Cleveland Dealer. Suspense that never lets up, said Publishers Weekly. So, as with all these other great books, it was made into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie came out in 1973. Little trivia. I think we're filled with trivia today.
Well, you are. I don't know.
Well,
I'm filled with something else.
Directed by William Friedkin. Do you know another movie he directed?
Oh, I know his name, but I couldn't tell you.
The French Connection.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Another great movie. Oh, not a horror movie.
Not really.
But another great movie.
Yeah.
And also, Blatty helped write the screenplay.
Oh, for this. That's
so
cool.
Those two actually worked very closely together.
Hmm.
Recently, I saw, because they're both gone now. They died recently. And I want to say that last 5 years. But right before that, I saw an interview with both of them on TV talking about the making of the movie and their experiences with it. And it was fantastic. They worked very closely together, the novelist and the director. So, and Ray Bradbury said of it, it's a great love story. He calls it a love story, The Exorcist.
What?
I wish I had written it. Think about it.
Wow.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I'll let you think about it.
Okay.
Yes, but that is quite a famous quote by him.
Yeah, I'd say.
That people have discussed.
Wow.
It's a great love story. Well,
I mean, I guess. Well, how? In what way?
Well, don't you think every story can be come down to a great love story?
I mean, I guess. I'm just trying to think of which version of love he's talking about.
Because there's very many versions of it.
Yeah.
A love of a mother for their child.
Sure, sure.
And how she fought for her.
Right.
She did.
Well, that's what I was thinking. But then there's also, like, love of a priest for his religion. There's the love of the demon
and his
for,
mother,
you know.
Because wasn't his mother seriously ill?
Yeah.
He was battling.
Well, that's why she, like, brings the mother through or whatever, right?
Yes. In fact, in this interview I saw with Friedkin and Blatty, they were talking about who was the main character in the movie, in the story.
Oh.
Was it the priest?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Reagan?
Reagan,
the little girl.
Hmm.
And I mean, you can debate this back and forth.
Yeah.
But that's a sign of a good movie.
Oh yeah, sure.
Makes you think.
Yeah. And I know that the one who played Reagan, what's her name again?
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
See?
I know that really messed with her head, that movie, which makes sense to me. And years later, actually, she was in a movie with Leslie Nielsen called Repossessed, and it's a joke version of The Exorcist. And it's actually kind of funny. It's stupid, like most Leslie Nielsen movies are, but it's entertaining. I don't think any of us own that movie. But yeah, Repossessed if you get a chance to watch it.
And talking about owning, the ebook is on Cloud Library.
There you go.
Of The Exorcist. And on Hoopla, it's on e-audio, so you can listen to it. Also, and we also own the movie, I'm sure, in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one. Now, this is a little different
Mm.
because technically the movie came out first. and
oh, that's okay.
Yeah, and then there was a quick novelization of it. One of my favorite horror movies of all time, The Omen. Have you seen that, Jerry?
I have. It's been a long time since I've seen it, though. So I don't really remember details. I mean, obviously, I remember Damien.
Oh, yeah. Damien. Now, the movie came out in 1976, and the writer of the screenplay, David Seltzer, quickly put out a novelization of it 2 weeks after the movie premiered.
Oh, wow.
Great marketing.
Yeah, that's some great timing.
The movie starred Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. Great cast. But David Seltzer, he was an accomplished author, screenwriter, producer. And another little trivia, one of the screenwriters for the 1971 musical film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Hmm. So this guy could go from Willy Wonka to The Omen. I think
very interesting.
That is range.
Yeah.
Again, the movie was very popular. The book was immensely popular. And there were some sequels after that, which he did not write. There was Damien Omen 2, also became a movie, and The Final Conflict. I recommend all three.
I think they did a remake, too, not a lot.
They did a lot of remakes. And
was,
they,
like,
they,
Gabriel Byrne in one of them or something?
They extended that series for too long.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I would stop at The Final Conflict. That starred Sam Neill, which was, he was
fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He played
Damien as an adult.
Right. Okay, so the sort of interestingly leads into something that I wanted to talk about. Roald Dahl?
Mm-hmm.
In general, I don't know if you're aware of his adult stories. Most of his kids' stories have that weird moral message in there, but there are horror elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
His adult stories are, some of them are straight horror, his short stories. A number of the stories were adapted for Alfred Hitchcock Presents, but some of his more famous ones, Man from the South, I'm sure you've heard of.
Yes.
So that's one of his stories. That's the one where, the, you know, they bet each other on if they can light the lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give anything away, or at least I'm going to try not to give anything away about these stories. There's another story called The Landlady, which I'm almost positive that you know. Most people know these as sort of urban legends, but they were actually stories that he created. So The Landlady is the one about someone who is looking for a place to stay, and he comes upon this bed and breakfast, and he goes in and, you know, signs in the ledger book and notices a lot of taxidermy around the place, and the woman's talking to him. He inquires as to who had been there earlier, and she said, oh no, the two people on there are still here, you know, they're living upstairs. And he says, oh, okay. And he's drinking his tea, and then things happen. I'm not gonna tell what. There's another one called Lamb to the Slaughter, which is the story about a woman who kills her husband with a leg of lamb and then cooks it for the police while they're investigating.
Lovely.
That's a really famous story as well. Like I said, some of these sound like urban legends that people have told, but they are actually his stories. There's another one called Skin, which involves a tattoo artist and a certain painting. Once again, I really don't want to give these away because the twists are really great.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the kind of author that most people just equate with kids' stories. Oh, they're fun. They're, you know, but when you mentioned Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, this made me think of that. Because if you look at the juxtaposition between the two versions of that movie that came out, there was the one that came out, I guess, in the 70s or the 60s, sometime.
70s. Early 70s.
70s.
Yeah.
So there's the one that came out then, but then there's also one that came out more recently with, like, Johnny Depp in it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that one's awful. Don't watch that one. But
it's too late. I already saw it.
Okay.
Saw it. Yeah.
So I apologize that you saw it. So, but if you look at the juxtaposition in the first movie at the end, you don't see the kids again. In the new one, you see the kids walking out of the chocolate factory. Mm-hmm. So they're all okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the original,
right,
you don't know that any of them survived, which is sort of, I feel like, more true, even though he didn't like the original film.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like there's subtlety to his horror in his children's stories.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the movie alone, there were parts that you're right, that did scare me. It was the unknown. Like, where did these kids go?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He was very clever.
Yeah, Roald Dahl's stuff for adults is actually really great. I recommend that.
I want to go back just a little bit. What would you say if you could pick the scariest movie of the 1960s? I'm putting you on the spot, Jerry.
the scariest movie of the 1960s. Reefer Madness. Oh. Psycho.
Psycho. Now, I think everyone's familiar with the movie.
Absolutely.
It's a landmark in not just horror, but I just think in cinema history. But I think we forget that it was a book. Started out as a book, 1959. And you talk about quick turnover. The movie was made in 1960.
Right.
So the book was by Robert Bloch. And just so you know, it is available on Cloud Library as ebook and e-audiobook, which I'm happy to say.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Hitchcock said about the book, Psycho all came from Robert Bloch's book. The New York Times called it icily terrifying.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And Peter Straub said, Robert Bloch is one of the all-time masters.
Hmm.
Do you remember seeing that movie for the first time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you afraid to go back in the shower?
No. There are so many allusions to that movie, though, and other things that I can just think of.
It's embedded in our culture.
Yeah.
And about the music.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
It's all strings.
Right, right. And I did hear that, this might be apocryphal, but that Hitchcock actually turned the water to cold on her in the shower, so that way she would exhibit genuine fear and like scream when it happened.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty entertaining to know that he did that. There actually was a TV series called Bates Motel that was on.
Yes. I haven't seen that, but I hear it's very
good. It was very good. Freddie Highmore and Vera Farmiga are in it and really excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really great actors. So yeah, the show is interesting. It takes a deeper look at the family in general.
Mm-hmm.
That movie has still has its tentacles in society today, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was ranked number one. This is the movie, 1960, on the American Film Institute 100 Years, 100 Thrills film series. So that's telling you something.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the movie, and I'm thinking maybe a lot of people under the age of, what, 25?
Probably
haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It is worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Just a caveat, it is in black and white. Hitchcock did that on purpose.
Right.
Don't be turned off by that. Because I know a lot of people turn up at black and white.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Just to go back a step.
Yeah.
The Best of Roald Dahl book that actually includes a lot of those stories is available at the Main Library.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, my friend lent it to me years ago, and that's how I remembered all these stories.
Another writer who was the Stephen King of his time, I'd say 60s and 70s, he dominated horror novels.
Mm-hmm.
Ira Levin.
Okay.
So Ira Levin, many of you may have remembered if you lived back then, you remember these books coming out. Every few years he came out with a doozy. In 1967, he came out with Rosemary's Baby.
That's a big one.
It's a big one. And in 1968, the movie came out. Another
very quick
fantastic
turnaround.
Movie. I believe it was directed by Roman Polanski.
Yeah, I think. Positive, yeah.
So the book, Rosemary's Baby, Stephen King said, Ira Levin is the Swiss watchmaker of the suspense novel.
Hmm.
Love that quote.
Yeah, that is great.
Chilling, entertaining, read it, said the Austin American Statesman. And then I love this from Esquire, an efficient German motor car of a book, masterful, ridiculously well-crafted, and flawless. So take a look at it.
Yeah.
Also, the book, if you're interested in going back, is available on Hoopla, on ebook and e-audio.
Wow.
And it's actually narrated on the Hoopla audiobook by Mia Farrow.
Oh, cool.
Who starred, of course, in the movie Rosemary's Baby.
That's very cool.
So then a few years go by, and he comes out with another one called The Stepford Wives.
Mm.
Have you read that book?
I have not read the book. I've seen the movie, though.
I think I saw the movie. Stepford Wives came out, the novel came out in 1972. The movie followed in 1975. And just so you know, the book is available on Hoopla in ebook format. That's another one to take a look at. Would you call that horror, Stepford Wives? More psychological?
Yeah, it's, I guess I would. Yeah, it's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
Right?
Definitely
a
thriller.
Sure.
And here's another, just to go back to another quote for Rosemary's Baby. I love this one. A darkly brilliant tale of modern deviltry that induces the reader to believe the unbelievable. I believed it and was altogether enthralled. You know who said that? Truman Capote.
Ooh.
Now, and I thought this would be a cool segue
yeah.
into his very famous true crime story
book, right.
In Cold Blood.
Yes.
Another horror also made into a movie, which I you know, I haven't read it, and I haven't seen the movie either.
My wife read it recently.
Yeah.
She enjoyed it. I have never read it. There was a recent version of the movie, right? Didn't they do another one?
That I don't know.
I'm not positive on that. I should probably look that up, huh?
I know the original movie starred Robert Blake.
Oh,
which, actually, he was involved in his own true
yeah.
crime
yep.
story later on. But that's just a side. And let me just finish with Ira Levin. He finished up his sort of horror trilogy in 1976 with the book The Boys from Brazil. Another great story. The classic thriller of Dr. Joseph Mengele's nightmarish plot to restore the Third Reich. Oh,
okay, because I had never heard of that one, but that
yeah.
makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it has to do with cloning Hitler.
Mm.
And then they plant him all over the world.
Gotcha.
This guy had some imagination.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So if you're interested in that book, it's available on Hoopla as an ebook and e-audio. I'm surprised how much is available on Hoopla.
Me too.
So please
Hoopla's
check
been
it
great.
Out. Yeah, the e-audio is narrated by Simon Preble. I don't know if people are interested.
Oh.
He's a fantastic narrator.
Yeah, he narrates a lot of them.
I might check that out just for him.
Hmm. All right, okay. Let's take a break. Okay, Regina, so on our endless list of horror things, I have a couple more things here. I know I mentioned Roald Dahl. I just figured I'd throw out some other authors who are known for their horror titles. Obviously, Stephen King. We can't
yeah.
not talk about Stephen King.
Right.
Were you a reader of Stephen King? Did you ever go through any of his stuff?
Again, I'm not a big horror reader. I have read some of his books. You know, and actually, I was reading most of his non-horror books.
Uh-huh, sure.
But one that I remember was that was on, like, a ghost story, because I like ghost stories, was Bag of Bones.
Okay, I never
maybe
read that one.
That was early...
Yeah, that was, like, in the early 90s, 2000s?
Early 2000s. Maybe around 2000.
Late 90s, maybe?
I think you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Probably around
And
that.
I remember enjoying that very much. I thought the ending kind of fell apart, but I find that to be in with a lot of horror.
Well,
like,
I was
going to
say,
like,
I don't really want to throw shade at Stephen King, but
no.
I feel like a lot of his endings aren't great. I don't know if you ever read, speaking of his non-horror titles, just for a quick second, his Dark Tower series. Did you ever read
no.
any of those?
No.
Okay. I started reading them. I really enjoyed them. And then at a certain point, I had to bow out
mm-hmm.
because I just felt like he doesn't know where it's going. But that's okay. I enjoyed what I read, so that's
yeah.
fine.
I mean, we can't have this discussion, like you said, without mentioning him.
Mm-hmm. And in the same vein, there's Peter Straub.
Sure.
Who also wrote a bunch. They even co-wrote a couple stories. I know Black House is
mm-hmm.
something they wrote together. Dean Koontz is another one
Ooh, yeah,
that has
yes,
written
yeah.
a lot of those titles.
I have read some Dean Koontz. I forgot all about him.
I never read any Dean Koontz, but my friend was an avid reader of his and had mentioned to me that a lot of his stories are chase stories.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's being chased by something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
I read one. The first one I read by him was called Intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I read, I think within the first 5 pages, this whole family gets wiped out.
Oh wow.
And I was like in shock. I said, did
yeah.
I just read that right? I had to go back and start
yeah,
over
sure.
because I'm like, oh my God, it happened so fast. And I'm like, what is this? It was quite the roller coaster.
Right. To go even older, I'd mention H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
He is slightly problematic. Well, I don't know about slightly, but fairly problematic. But his stories are not. Call of Cthulhu and things like that, or however you want to say the monster's name. We have a bunch of them, just like we do Stephen King,
mm-hmm.
in the system. So if you want a physical book that'll scare you, definitely grab some of his stories, because he's very grotesque type horror. Indescribable horrors is a lot of what he does. For some of the younger listeners, I figured I would mention Christopher Pike and the R.L. Stein stories. Those were huge when I was younger, especially the Goosebumps series and the Fear Street and those types of things. I loved those tales when I was a kid because it was sort of my first, like, introduction to horror that wasn't so scary that it would keep me up, you know, but it was just the right amount.
And children like to be scared. I notice a lot of questions coming in when I have a parent ask me or a child ask me for a suggestion. So, like, I'm looking for a scary book.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about... They want to be scared. I don't know
right.
what it is.
Right. Yeah, and in that vein, there was the Goosebumps movies that came out. Mm-hmm. They were actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed them. Jack Black is in them. My nephew, when the first movie came out, he knew that I read them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called me in the middle of the day, and I see my sister's cell phone calling me. And I say, oh, no, what, you know, what happened? So I pick it up all nervous. And he goes, Uncle Jerry, we're going to go see the Goosebumps movie, right? And I said, oh, yeah, no, we'll go. So we took him for his birthday, which happens to be the day before Halloween. So
perfect.
Yeah, so that was actually really fun. We had a good time with that. So, yeah, no, I definitely recommend those. Those are great stories. That was it in terms of, like, the fictional tales that I want to speak about. I had some true story titles that I thought about. The Penguin Book of Exorcisms is something that I ordered recently for Dorothy Henry.
Mm.
Yeah, and if we were speaking about The Exorcist, this seems like an interesting thing to me. I thought it would be a perfect Halloween-type book to have. And obviously, Vincent Bugliosi's Helter Skelter.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Manson. Yeah, that's a big story. Clearly, we spoke of Roman Polanski earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a connection there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read that or no?
I have not.
Okay, I read that. It's terrifying.
Yeah. I feel like I know the story so well, I don't need to read it.
Sure.
Yeah, but should I still read it?
I mean, it's a good read.
Yeah.
If you're into true crime.
Yeah.
If you're squeamish or any of that, I wouldn't read it, but it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Because it's real, you know?
I have to say I'm very attracted to documentaries on that topic.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Manson. You know, you and Squeaky Frome, there are a couple of them.
He had a lot of admirers in jail, I hear.
Oh, yeah. I think, was he married in prison?
Oh, man. So... yeah, I love watching documentaries on true crime. I don't know what it is. I just can't get enough of them.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't read that one. But yeah, I could go back though and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, you talk about exorcisms. There was one book I read years ago that I started, and it was the only book that I had to stop, and I was only 1/5 of the way into the book.
Oh, wow.
And it was called Hostage to the Devil.
Okay.
And the rest of the title reads, The Possession and Exorcism of 5 Contemporary Americans. And that's what it was. It was a compilation, probably like the Penguin one you just mentioned. It was a compilation of these true life exorcisms. The book came out in 1976, and it was by Malachi Martin, who at the time, I remember seeing him a lot on talk shows, was the preeminent expert on exorcisms.
Okay.
Anytime that discussion was going on, it seemed to be going on a lot during that time.
Yeah, well, that was actually pre-Satanic Panic, because I was going to say, that seems like Satanic Panic stuff, but that was right before that.
But he was still around during that Satanic Panic.
Right, right.
Is that what you call it, Satanic Panic?
Satanic Panic, yeah. No, that's an accepted term.
that's a great term, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I read the first case study in there, and I said, oh my gosh, I have to put this down. Mm. It was chilling. It is available on audiobook on Hoopla, and LC, actually, Louise Childs, this branch, does own the hard copy of the book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you really want to get scared and you are into exorcisms, that is the one to check out. Here's one review. Malachi Martin was the greatest expert on the subject of possession and exorcism in the English-speaking world. That was by Scott Peck. Remember him? He was the author of Glimpses of the Devil.
Okay, no, I didn't remember.
He also called it a brilliant work. Yeah, it is. Hmm. It is quite frightening. And I think they made a documentary a few years ago, but I had never seen it.
Okay.
So I was kind of shocked all those years later.
Yeah.
It seems like that topic just never dies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It always
intrigues people. Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Another one I just want to highlight. This is an author back, I'm going back to the early 70s now, but Thomas Tryon, some of you might remember him. His first novel was called The Other. He actually started out as an actor. For many years as an actor, he got disillusioned by the system, and he decided, let me get out of here and start writing. And this book, The Other, was a huge success. And he went on to become a best-selling novelist. They called it a landmark of psychological horror that is worthy descendant of the books of James Hogg, Robert Louis Stevenson, Shirley Jackson, who we mentioned before, and Patricia Highsmith.
We really didn't mention her.
Another quote, which I just want to bring in because it ties into something we talked about. He called the other a lyrical, impressive horror story that is a cross between The Bad Seed.
Oh, there it is.
And John Cheever's The Wapshot Chronicles.
Hmm.
And that the Los Angeles Times said that in their review. So in case you're interested in checking that out or any of his other books, I did read The Harvest Home years ago. That came out in 1973. I didn't read it back in 1973, by the way.
Okay.
Well after that. But for some reason, I wanted a scary book, and I was doing some research, and I came across his name. And Harvest Home is a classic ghost story. So R. 11 also was a big fan of Tryon. R. 11, of course, the author of Rosemary's Baby.
Right.
His quote said, "A humdinger, a whirlpool of, oh my God, horror." So that's pretty good praise.
Yeah.
So check him out. Harvest Home is actually available on Hoopla as ebook. And I know we have the hard copy of that, but unfortunately we don't have the other available. I didn't see it anywhere, so we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I had just a couple of other things on here.
Sure.
Recently, a movie that I don't believe was a novel called Ready or Not. It came out, I think, last year. I don't know if you're aware of this.
No.
It was... you looked at me like, no. It stars Samara Weaving and Andy McDowell's in it. And it's about a woman who... She marries into this rich family, and the first night after their wedding, they have to play a game. And they wind up playing hide and seek. But it's a very different form of that game than you think you are going to see. So it's actually really entertaining. It's very gory, so if you're not into that, but it's not really comedic gore, but it's in that range.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is a TV series that I don't believe anyone owns, and I don't know if you can own it technically.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix series. It's in the vein of Twilight Zone and Night Gallery and all that type of thing, called Black Mirror. I don't know if you've ever seen Black Mirror.
I just heard of it. No, I haven't seen
it. Okay. Some of them are horror. They're not all very horror, but it's a very great series. It's an anthology series, so each episode is different. And there's a lot of famous people in the episodes.
Like, are they individual episodes? Like vignettes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like bottle episodes. Okay, so everything is different.
So no. Is it like a Twilight Zone in the
That's what I said,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. You said, okay.
Yeah, it's very similar. Some of the stories are, you know, psychological in nature, but they all involve technology. Because, you know, the cell phone is the black mirror. So it's sort of like, you know, it's reflecting, technology reflecting our, you know, social values or distorting them in some way. It's a really interesting series. I recommend it if you have access to Netflix.
Okay. Well, when you mention The Twilight Zone,
mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of an author I'm a big fan of that I don't think a lot of people know his name, and I wish he would get more popular. His name is Keith Donahue, and the first book I read by him was The Stolen Child back in 2006, and it was about changelings,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think it's all, you know, many places, but I know it's very popular in Irish folklore.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's about these little creatures underneath the ground who come up and they change souls or bodies,
mm-hmm.
with a child somewhere. And they change. That's why they call changelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. I thought it was utterly absorbing novel. And I love the way he writes. Not a very long book. So if you want and I can't call this horror, but he does move into more horror in his later books. He wrote this book in 2014 called The Boy Who Drew Monsters. And they call it literary horror novel in one review. It's about a boy trapped inside his own world whose drawings blur the lines between fantasy and reality. And I just thought it was fantastic. And it kind of reminds me a lot of The Twilight Zone. Mm. And I said to myself, if this guy, this Keith Donahue, was living back in the 50s, he'd be writing for Rod Serling. And
right.
The Twilight Zone.
Right.
I mean, it's
so it turns crazy. Out it was Earth all along.
I love the Twilight. Did you love the Twilight Zone?
I do. It's unfortunately there are a lot of very similar episodes where it's anyway it's Earth or anyway
but,
the answer is it's man.
But you know
that's
what?
The answer. It's the most horrifying creature.
A lot of deep issues going on in those stories, and he didn't write all of them. He had a lot of writers.
Uh-huh,
writing for him.
Absolutely.
And This is an interesting review for The Boy Who Drew Monsters. It says, in the tradition of The Turn of the Screw, here we're going back to something we mentioned
right.
before, Keith Donahue's The Boy Who Drew Monsters is a mesmerizing tale of psychological terror and Imagination Run Wild, a perfectly creepy read for a dark night.
This sort of reminds me of, you've probably never seen this film, it's a horror movie called In the Mouth of Madness, and it's with Sam Neill, isn't it?
And oh, I love Sam Neill.
It's about a, it's about an author who is so popular that, he's based on Stephen King, the author, and he's so popular that his grotesque horrors become reality because everyone reads them, so, you know, they sort of manifest. And it's an interesting movie. It's not great, but it's...
I gotta write that down. What's the name again?
In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I can that. Actually lend it to you. I own it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think any of the libraries do. I looked for it earlier.
And just one more novel by Donahue. The Motion of Puppets came out in 2016. And let me just say, it's about people turning into puppets, which scares me. Okay, so...
Right.
Check it out. He's fantastic.
Okay. So I had just a couple things that are horror comedies to sort of change gears here. It's interesting when those two things intersect. There was a movie and then a TV show called What We Do in the Shadows. And it's from... Well, I know Taika Waititi worked on the first one. And Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. I think he's from Flight of the Conchords. And it's about vampires and like existing in present day. So it's a lot of like fish out of water type stuff. But I know a lot of people really enjoyed it. So we in the system have both the movie and the TV series. So I've heard good things. I've never actually seen it. One of my favorites is called Cabin in the Woods. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It came out, I don't know, mid-2000s probably. And Kristen Connolly is in it and Chris Hemsworth is in it. But it's basically these... It's a... you know, a standard horror movie trope of a bunch of people going to a cabin in the woods. And the whole thing, though, is that the cabin is set up by this organization that has to produce offerings for ancient gods in order to keep them satisfied. So there's a bunch of different ways that these monsters can come out and kill these people. So it's sort of a... it's, there's some humor element to it because... there's a weird, like, office version of what's going on, you know, and this Bradley Whitford is one of the guys who works in the office that's trying to get these people killed, and it's very funny. But it's also scary, so it's a really nice combination of the two. And Christopher Moore, who just came out with Shakespeare for Squirrels, but one of his books is called Bite Me, and it's like a vampire love story, but it's, you know, it's humorous. So I figured I would mention that as well, because he has some things like that.
Yeah, vampires have always been popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come and go, but they're always with us.
Yeah, I always found it odd that the whole vampire craze that happened not that long ago, you know, at least for teens, that there was no Anne Rice connection there. I always thought that, you know, the Anne Rice thing was very big. There was the Interview with a Vampire and the whole Lestat stuff, but then there was sort of a break, and then the Stephanie Meyer Twilight stuff came up for teens. And then that sort of, I feel like, reinvigorated the vampire craze.
Oh, sure. And Anne Rice deserves credit, really, for, I think, starting or restarting that when she did. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because there's also the Charlene Harris.
Sure.
True Blood, Sookie Stackhouse type things. So, yeah, that's there too. So, did you have any other titles that you wanted to talk about?
I think that was it.
Okay.
I mean, there's plenty more. We can go on
and on.
We can.
I had a couple little things that I wanted to mention. So, the film Friday the 13th was filmed in Blairstown, which is, you know, a county over, I guess, or, yeah, one county over. Every Friday the 13th, they do a whole event there in the town, and they have, you know, a museum there, and so I have not been yet, but I always wanted to go. My friend is a big horror movie fan, so if you get a chance, definitely head down to Blairstown on a Friday the 13th, because there will be something going on. So I thought that was kind of cool. I had... general questions for you.
Sure.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Anything with chocolate. Snickers.
Oh, come on.
Milk.
Anything with chocolate.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's
I'm not
go.
A big candy corn. Okay. You know, those Halloween themed candies. I give me the chocolate. Give me.
Okay. That's fine.
Probably Snickers.
All right.
Reese's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Reese's peanut butter cups are, yeah.
They're deadly.
Yeah. What I else? Hopefully we'll die from them. If I had to choose, that would be my choice. Eating them till I die. I do also love the mini Charleston shoes. Have you ever had those?
I have. They're not one of my favorites, but yes, they're good. They're a nice classic candy. Mm. Absolutely. Baby Ruth. Do they still make those? I don't know why that just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Mounds. Love Mounds.
See, I'm not a huge not a huge coconut person. It has to be, I don't know, it has to be good coconut.
Yeah, with the dark chocolate. I love dark chocolate.
Me too. So dark chocolate is...
Dark chocolate with the coconut's delicious.
Absolutely.
Just delicious.
All right. Worst thing you ever got on Halloween while trick-or-treating?
All right. I went up to this... We went in groups. Uh-huh, I was very little. Went up to this guy's house, and he had this big bowl of gum. And it was like, like Juicy Fruit? Remember Juicy Fruit?
Yeah,
it was like the long sticks.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still... I don't chew gum anymore.
Yeah, I think they still make
Do they still make it?
I don't know.
He had a bowl full of just all the individual sticks, and he said, take one. Just one.
One stick of gum?
I'll never forget it. I will never forget it.
Wow.
It's a lot I don't remember from my Halloween trick-or-treating days.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
But I remember thinking, even as a kid, is this guy joking? And... He wasn't joking.
Wow.
And it was full. It was a full bowl of single sticks of Juicy Fruit gum.
That is so strange.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah, that stuck in my mind.
Wow.
Okay. How about you?
Worst one I ever got. Apple with a pencil jammed in it. So at that point, neither one was usable. It was this old lady, and she clearly had something going on.
Aww. She probably thought it was going to be an apple on a stick.
Yeah, but it was a pencil.
Oh.
Yeah. And the apple wasn't dipped in anything.
It wasn't even a candy apple?
No, it was just an apple with a pencil jammed in it. Yep.
Well, at least it wasn't a razor blade.
Remember that scare? I didn't open the apple to find out what was in it, so it's entirely possible there was something in there. So... In the years that you dressed up for Halloween, what was your favorite costume?
I seem to have repeated the witch theme a lot.
Okay.
I see, I'm a believer. My philosophy of Halloween is it should be scary. I never really dressed up as an innocuous like character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked being scary. So between witches... demons, things like that. That's what I enjoyed doing.
Okay, cool.
And, I'm nothing against, kids going around in, Disney costumes, but to me there should be a sinister...
A scare factor.
...angle to
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that.
How about you?
So, one year in college I was in a creative writing class, and for some reason, I don't remember why, there was something about... We were joking around, and then the professor said, okay, fine. So then you guys have to write a story about a werewolf or a pirate. So I wrote a story about both. A werewolf pirate. So that year, I went as a werewolf pirate for Halloween. And I can say the costume was awesome. I got this werewolf costume where it had the hands and the mask. And then I just got a pirate costume, and I put that on also. And I had, like, the hat and everything, and it looked great. So, of course, that year, my family had a Halloween party. I'm sorry, a party around Halloween. And the invitation said, dress up if you like. Well, I was the only one who liked. So I went dressed up, and no one else did. And I felt terrible. Years later, I actually got to wear the mask and hands again when I went to this Halloween party with my then-girlfriend, and she dressed up as Little Red Riding Hood, and I dressed up as the Big Bad Wolf. So I had on, like, an old lady nightgown, and I had the wolf stuff on.
That's great.
Well, we were at this party, so I took the wolf mask off because it was too hot. It was rubber. And I took the hands off, so I was walking around, and someone comes up to me, and I'm just wearing the old woman dress. And she goes, are you a Mormon? And I said, what? And I guess that's what she thought I was dressed as. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, that was nice. You were able to repurpose the wolf mask.
That costume got a lot of mileage. It was a quality werewolf costume. So yeah, yeah. How about not a costume that you wore, but somebody else's costume? What was the best one that you've seen?
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot. The best one I've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need a minute to think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So Youth Services, I don't know if they did that here, but Christine, one of our youth services people dressed up in her giant T-Rex costume and did a tour of the library.
Here too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great costume.
It was a great
Because it's one of those giant inflatable ones. But I this was right before I think memes totally took off and took over the internet. But do you remember Spaghetti Cat?
No.
Okay. This was a cat that had eaten spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, during a news broadcast, there was all of a sudden just a picture of this cat eating spaghetti for like a second, and then it went back to the newscast. And people thought, why did that happen? Well, that then became a thing with Spaghetti Cat. So I saw a girl dressed up as Spaghetti Cat at a party one time. And I thought that was a really fun costume. But, yeah.
I was at a party one time. I thought this was a very clever costume. This woman was dressed up in a gown and a crown,
mm-hmm.
like Miss America,
mm-hmm.
but she had a sash. She had a sash on her, and instead of saying Miss America, it said Miss Understood. I thought it was great.
That is
I'm
good.
Like, that is so clever.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so once again, we went to our staff to give you some recommendations. I believe they went with some spooky Halloween-type ones. So the first one we have here is from Judy Ring, who's a senior library assistant at the Dennis Library. She said, I'm not a horror slash-em-up enthusiast, but I did enjoy reading The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, which was reviewed as Fried Green Tomatoes and Steel Magnolias meets Dracula. Minimal gore. When it comes to movies, she loved A Quiet Place, which is a little gory in spots, but great suspense. And as far as a CD recommendation, she says Halloween Classics, which is a compilation by Shout Factory, would be her choice. It's great for a party.
I'm assuming that's like sound effects, like
probably.
Halloween music.
Or yeah. like Monster Mash type
yeah.
things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those did you ever great. See A Quiet Place?
No.
Did you read A Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires?
No.
Okay.
So I can't have nothing to offer.
Good talk. No, I saw A Quiet Place. I enjoyed that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't see the sequel, but I definitely enjoyed the first one.
Okay. Well, we have another employee, Sarah Mango. She's a librarian in adult services at the main library. She is recommending Stephen King's Carrie. She said, Stephen King isn't an author that I typically read, but I'm very glad that I made an exception for this book. I don't know if I would call it scary, more unsettling, and a detail that accentuates the creepiness is the story structure. It reminds me of an incident report. And it grounds Carrie White's story in reality in a way that changes the reading experience. It made me stop and wonder what I just read. And that's what makes Carrie stand out for me. The structure elevates the story into a higher level of unsettling. I love it, and I go back to it at least once a year. That's quite a review.
Yeah. I never read Carrie. Did you ever read Carrie?
I never read Carrie.
You saw the movie.
Yeah, saw the movie.
I didn't see the remake.
No, I don't
that was like Chloe Moretz, I think.
Because
the original is Sissy Spacek?
Sissy Spacek,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a scary movie.
Yeah, but who was scarier, Carrie or the mother?
No, the mother, by far.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah.
What's her name?
Piper Laurie.
Right,
yeah,
right. Like, I want to say Ellen Burstyn, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're getting your horror movies mixed up.
Yeah,
Ellen Burstyn was The Exorcist.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I enjoyed the original, so great.
So do you think we covered enough horror for a day?
I don't know. Do we have a couple more hours? We can keep going.
We could keep going and
yeah.
going, no doubt.
It really is crazy.
But I hope we highlighted some titles that you'd be willing to check out, read, or watch.
Yeah. So if you want to email us, it's librarylines@sussexcountylibrary.org. We welcome feedback.
Absolutely.
For this episode, I am Jerry Galante.
And I'm Regina Bone.
And we'll see you guys next time.